Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for FriendsOfFantasyBenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
I'm all right, man. We keep to seem getting together real late at night lately, but it's working out.
Yeah, well, sometimes we gotta find time, and right. You know, unfortunately for both of us, we're kind of working weird hours nowadays, so sometimes it's a little midnight rendezvous.
Definitely.
But today we're going to be talking about another system, a system that...
It's on the up and up.
Yeah, it's changing every day. And that's...
I would say this is the most improved system from this time last year.
Well, it's definitely the most improved system than, 2 months ago.
Right. Looking at their top 10 right now, there are probably two guys on this top 10 that I wrote up that would have been in their top 10 last year. So that's good.
Nice. Yeah. Well, we are talking about the Seattle Mariners, who have made a ton of trades, and I'm sure will make a ton more trades before the start of the actual baseball season. So why don't you go ahead and jump in, talk to me about the top of their system.
Sure. I guess there's an interesting caveat at the top because there's actually three real candidates, and they're all very, very different. You have a left-handed starting pitcher who's on the cusp of the majors and debuted last year, but in a mop-up role with the Yankees. You got a high school prep kid from Wisconsin who they just acquired in a deal with the Mets, and then you have a 27-year-old Japanese import. So you have a lot of different things here, and yes, Kikuchi is a prospect because I make it simple. I don't try to reinvent things. I just go by major league rules. So Kikuchi is eligible to win Rookie of the Year, so therefore he's a prospect, right? So
that makes sense.
So he's here, and I guess we'll start there. He's a guy that I want to start this off by saying I am not looking to invest in Kikuchi this year in redraft formats, but I am going to be on him in Dynasty because I think because his value in redraft is suppressed by how the Mariners announced they're going to handle him, I think his Dynasty price is cheaper because of that, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But Kikuchi, Mariners signed him for a 3-year deal. They have a couple options. I think they can make it a 5 or 6 year deal, right? Maybe just 4.
Yeah, it's a weird contract.
It's strange.
It'll be interesting to see.
3 years, $43 million guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. But then he's got an opt out, and they have an option to extend him.
Right, and I believe it can go to 7. It can be a 3-year deal, or it can be a 7-year deal.
Yeah,
I don't think it can be any other option. I think it's either. I don't know. It's got weird clauses to it. I don't want to misspeak on it. Either way, it's not the deal that, and I think if Ohtani was eligible in this.
Here, I have the deal exactly. So Kikuchi is getting 4 years guaranteed worth $56 million, but the fourth year is a player option worth $13 million. So you can kind of think of it as an opt-out clause.
Right.
After that fourth year, the Mariners have the options to extend him for 3 years and $43 million.
Okay, so it's a 3-year deal because there's no reason why he should accept that deal because he's locked in for four.
Yeah, unless he hurts himself.
Right. Okay, so, yeah. So, okay, that adds a couple of wrinkles to it. But, Kikuchi's an interesting guy to rank in your fantasy redraft and in Dynasty, and the reason why I say I'm not touching him in redraft is they've already kind of announced, if you're not familiar with Japanese baseball, you start once a week traditionally, not every fifth day. Doesn't sound like much of a difference, but as we know, it is. Pitchers are creatures of habit. The Mariners have already kind of announced he's going to have, some of the two-star weeks he's going to have are going to be just short starts. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's a quality start league that I don't want to say kills the value, but I don't think you can draft him in a quality start league that's less than 15 teams. Less than 12. And a 15 team, you can kind of take a shot as a back end starter, I think. But I think on a per inning basis, it'll be fine. But obviously, you're not drafting on that. 90, low 90s on the fastball with a plus slider. Low to mid-90s with a plus slider. He missed some time in Japan in 2018 with a shoulder injury, so also keep that in mind. I think the ultimate upside here is a number two starter and probably a nice fallback as a number three mid-rotation guy, which I think he can contribute now. And because of that, I think he should be your number one pick in your first-year player drafts, going back to Dynasty, because he's going to contribute this year, and there's nobody else on that list that's going to. And there's also likely nobody on that list that's going to contribute next year either for a meaningful time. So you're getting a year and a, 2 years jump on guys, and that's a lot of value in fantasy. So I think he should be number one, even if you're rebuilding, and if you're rebuilding, you flip him. Simple, right?
Completely.
I don't think there's much debate in that. I think you're overthinking things if you're not taking him number one.
I think there is going to be a lot of debate.
There is. I get a lot of pushback on it already on Twitter.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think the conventional thinking would be if you're a rebuilding team, and most likely if you've got the number one pick in a dynasty first-year player draft, you're a team that wasn't very good. Whether or not you automatically get the first overall pick by being the worst team, or you want some sort of lottery,
right. People
want kind of the long-term upside, which, while Kikuchi is got plenty of potential, and I think, like you said, he could be a number two starter in fantasy, he's ready now, and I think some people are going to want to go for the Gormans or the Indias of the world.
Right, and I guess I don't blame you, but I think the real play here is get Kikuchi
and trade him to
get,
a contender.
You can get two guys, the equivalent of Gorman or India. You know what I mean? So I think that's what you do.
The hard part is, though, in fantasy, everybody wants the shiny new toy.
Sure, and he's not. He's kind of like the dull, the dependable, steady toy.
he's the one that's been secondhand gifted to you.
Right, and sometimes those are just as fine. I guess beauty's in the eye of the beholder, right? So, I don't know. I think you take a number one, and I know you're in agreement on that. And I guess if you're targeting him, you don't have to trade up to number one, because I don't think he's going number one in most. I just did a redraft in a Razzball league with a lot of pretty serious dynasty league, and he went sixth.
Wow. So. That's surprising.
And one of the guys that went in front of him, see, that's how we transitioned in the biz, is Jared Kelnick. Kelnick is how you pronounce it. Kid out of Wisconsin high school. Not a lot of, prep baseball jewels are found up in the Wisconsin high school ranks. Most notably, the most recent one is Gavin Lux in the Dodgers system. Kelnick is a potential five-category contributor. Hit 286, 371, 468 with six homers and 15 stolen bases across two different levels of rookie ball. Actually, I think he was up to low A this year. Well-rounded short season A ball. Sorry, well-rounded prep hitter, the best in the draft, and he's lived up to that so far. I think there's a lot of upside here, and I think he's kind of another bargain in this year's draft. I think if you're in a points league format, I would probably take him over Gorman in a first year player draft, because I think Gorman might have especially if you get penalized for strikeouts. I think Kelnick's a better bat to ball profile, and he's an all five categories guy. Justice Sheffield for me is going to be third, and that seems probably low for most people. I've been the low guy on Sheffield for a while. He throws four pitches, but two of them are plus. It's the fastball that can get to 96 from the left side, sits about 93, 94, and he has a plus slider. He has an average changeup and a cutter, short lefty, so a lot of the downward plane issues strike there. The move to Seattle will be good for him for a couple different reasons. Number one, they're not going to be competitive this year. At least that's not the plan. And guys like this, when you go to bad teams, have a longer leash in the rotation. He's going to get more of a chance to develop because he's not learning how to get major league hitters out in New York this year. They have aspirations that are much bigger than Seattle's. So Sheffield's not going to be given a long leash. So in Seattle, he's going to be allowed to ride, have the ups and downs and allowed to develop at the major league level, which he already knows how to get AAA hitters out. He dominated AAA last year. Different ball game in his real small cup of coffee in New York. And, I'm still kind of a low guy on Sheffield. I only think he can be a mid-rotation guy, and it's still pretty damn good. But a lot of people have him as a top-of-the-rotation guy. I don't see it. I don't think he throws enough strikes consistently. His ground ball tilt is – you see, he's actually a fly ball lean, And I don't think he has a third pitch that's usable right now. So I'm a little bit down on Sheffield. My number four guy is Julio Rodriguez, who's an exciting potential five-tool contributor that they added in their 2017 J2 class. 161 WRC plus in the DSL, 12% walk rate, 15.7% K rate, 6'3", 180 as an 18-year-old, so he's a pretty physical kid. Has all the ingredients of a plus raw power and plus hit tool combination. I think he's a. I have him in my top 100 prospects list toward the back half, toward the back end, and I think he needs to be in a dynasty ad everywhere because I think he's got elite upside. Yes, Seattle has struggled developing prospects lately, but this is a somewhat new regime, so can't really use all that stuff against them. And Rodriguez is one of the most talented guys they've had enter the system in a while, so him and Kelnick would be a pretty nice foundation if they both hit. Logan Gilbert was their top pick in this year's draft. Well, Kelnick went higher, but Gilbert was actually drafted by the Mariners. Went to Stetson. If that doesn't sound familiar, that's where Corey Kluber and I believe Jacob DeGrom went to school. DeGrom might not be correct, so quote me on that, but I know Kluber did. Kluber went to Stetson. And Gilbert fell down on draft boards a little bit because of the heavy workload. Seattle was going to send him to low A or rookie ball to let him throw just a few. It was going to be a handful of innings, get his feet wet and pro ball. But then he had mono and had to go to the hospital, so he missed some time. And they ended up just, it's not worth ramping him back up. So what you have here is you have to rely on what he did in college, and that's completely fine because Gilbert actually led all Division I starting pitchers in strikeouts. Upper 90s fastball with a good slider and changeup. Again, the heavy workload pushed him down. He was a guy I wanted. I'm a Cardinals fan. He was a guy I was hoping would fall down to St. Louis at 17 or 18 when they ended up getting Gorman. But Gilbert was an intriguing option I was hoping would fall, but it worked out for both sides on that. Evan White, I have him as a my sixth-ranked guy here, but I think Justin Dunn's going to jump a couple of these guys. But Evan White is six for now. Good hands, a good athlete, good glove at first base. What does that help for fantasy? Well, it doesn't, I guess, for first base anyways. But the play skills here are a good foundation. I think he's a good athlete. He's not going to hit for power, but the added caveat here is Evan White's going to run a little bit. He could be one of the rare kind of first basemen that can chip in 10, 12, maybe even 15 stolen bases. He hits the ball on the ground a lot. Does that sound like anybody in the major leagues, Justin? Maybe he plays in Colorado. Sounds like Ian Desmond. So I think that's the upside that I'm going with. Evan White, if best case scenario, which is a valuable player.
Sure.
And then I think Justin Dunn is going to be, he's my seventh guy. He might shoot up the list a little bit. I was down on Dunn going into the season. I thought he was a reliever because he absolutely got torched by lefties in the lower minors. Torched. First round pick out of Boston College. Didn't have a pitch to develop, developed enough to get the lefties out. And now his changeup and cutter have both taken a jump. And now I think he's a big league ready mid rotation guy that you're going to see in Seattle at maybe at the end of this year if they're ambitious enough. Kyle Lewis, this one sucks, man. I have him eighth in the system. He was one of my favorite guys in the 2016 draft when he went in the first round, blew out that knee, and I think he's having mental issues with that because I don't think he fully trusts it, and he just looks like. Number one, I think he lost a little bit of athleticism from the knee injury, but I think he's having more severe mental issues that come from it, not trusting the body. And it was a pretty miserable showing in Double A this year. I expect him to repeat that, but this is a guy that I was heavily invested in. And if you're like me, you just have to hold him and hope it works out. But Kyle Lewis, I'm not closing the book, but injuries suck, and it's part of it.
The 2019 Friends of Fantasy Benefits Draft Guide, The Fantasy Benefit, is the largest and most complete fantasy draft guide on the market. With featured writers from Friends of Fantasy Benefits, Baseball HQ, Baseball Prospectus, and FanGraphs, and many more, you will get tons of information on how to start your own league, draft strategies for roto, points, categories, NFBC, best ball, and DFS. There are tiers for every position, and 30 team previews, including 30 team prospect previews, breaking down the top prospects from each team. their ranks for every position, for prospects, for first-year player drafts. This is the most in-depth guide that fantasy baseball has to offer. And not only that, we'll be updating it all draft season in the ebook and PDF. You can get this on Amazon.com in ebook form for $7.50 or in paperback for $13.99. Don't want an ebook? Don't want a paperback? Just want a PDF? You can order it by emailing friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com and I will send you an updated copy every week until the start of opening day. Get your 2019 Friends of Fantasy Benefits draft guide called The Fantasy Benefit today.
And another international guy they signed, Noelvi Marte, a shortstop, probably going to play third because he's going to fill out. Has plus raw power now, and then he has advanced feel for hit, meaning he has a swing that I think is conducive to off-field's approach. All the scouting reports and the video I watch, he's an all-field hitter, really good swing, can generate loft easily. It's not a linear swing at all. He actually gets natural loft. He projects out to be a four category guy, but he's 17 right now, so don't be in a hurry for it. And Jake Fraley, who they got in the trade with Seattle with Tampa for Zunino, hasn't been able to stay healthy, but if he can, I think he's an all-around. He's a gap-to-gap, plus-speed guy. He can hit 20 homers and steal 10 to 15 bags if he gets enough time. The average might not be as strong as the others on this list, but I think Fraley's a dude. Josh Stowers was another high draft pick for them this year. I think he can supply good power, good defense in a corner outfield. Eric Swanson's a crafty little starter. I think he can fit in the back end. Dom Thompson-Williams is pretty much Stowers, but with bigger strikeout issues, kind of got a wonky swing. A lot of hand movement there. Sam Carlson's coming back from Tommy John. I like him a lot. He's a cold-weather kid out of Minnesota. I think if he gets going right, I think he can shoot up the system, so look for him next year to jump. And Braden Bishop is a speed and defense outfielder, but I think he can steal 20 bases, which in this fantasy landscape will provide value. But Seattle's system is interesting. It's much stronger than it was at this time last year, like I alluded to earlier. I actually think it's in the top half of baseball for fantasy. Only for fantasy, though, because it's a pretty strong top 10. It's a pretty good top 15, but after that, it just falls off a cliff. And another guy that's still prospect eligible is Dan Vogelbach, if that's your sort
How
of thing.
How is he still?
Yeah, he's underneath the at-bats threshold.
Wow, that's crazy.
And what Vogelbach is at this point, a high OBP guy, mm-hmm. but if he's not going to get to playing time, it doesn't really matter. He's a DH only, which you would think he'd be able to play on this, you know, how they have the team constructed, but they have Jay Bruce in the way right now. Mm-hmm. So unless they get rid of Bruce, I don't anticipate Vogelbach being on the roster because he's not really a guy you can carry on your bench either because he doesn't offer any versatility.
Mm-hmm. He's got to play, yeah.
Yeah, but he's still eligible. So if you're holding on to him, I mean, I guess you have no choice, right? You just
I think you got to let him go, right? I mean, at this point.
He's an injury away, but.
But I mean, what's the upside?
Yeah, right.
You know, you and I have talked about
250 with 18 to 20 homers, but if he hits 250, he could have a 350 OBP. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's pretty much your upside, right?
Which is nice, you know, if you're in an on-base percentage league, but.
Right.
Like,
very
formidable. He's like a 15 to 20 homer guy. Like, it's not.
Right.
We're not talking about a guy. I know the body looks like he should hit 30 home runs, but he's never shown that.
He's very similar to, like, what Rowdy Tellez is for Toronto. And he had a little breakout when he came up in September. So it kind of put him in that bucket of players.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTopFWFB. You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. What do you got going on?
We are finishing up our prospect previews over at Prospects Live. And if you're a Mariners fan, look for that next week. Mariners and Dodgers are the last two we have left. And then we're going to be doing dynasty rankings over there. And then we're going to be doing our positional ranks over at FWFB. And, of course, the draft guide's out.
Yes, so, the draft guide. You can get the draft guide on Amazon.com in ebook or paperback form, or you can, if you just want a PDF, You can email me at friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com, and I will explain to you how you can get a PDF. The PDFs in ebooks are $7.50. The paperbacks are $13.99, so it's pretty much cheaper than you're going to find anywhere in the industry for a draft guide. And this one is extremely comprehensive. It's like 426 pages, I believe. 30-team previews, all the prospect previews that Matt did, as well as Walter and
Paul Martin did a couple each.
Yeah, they each kind of jumped in and did a few.
I did 26 of them.
Yeah, and they're awesome. And that itself is well worth kind of the price of admission, plus a bunch of strategy guide pieces. It's a pretty amazing draft guide. I'm really, really proud of it, and really proud of all the guys and gals that helped us out with this. And so, yeah, go definitely get that or email me. We'll be updating it all season or all preseason long up until opening day. If you have the PDF, you'll get weekly kind of reminder or weekly updates, or probably more than weekly sometimes.
Right.
Any
big move happens to it, you'll get one.
Yeah, I mean, I sent out, I think, a few this morning. I'm going to update it tonight and send out more. So.
I went through a lot of it and updated a lot of it today, too.
Definitely get that. You can read all my stuff over on Fangraphs, Fantasy Alarm, of course, Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Hear me on the award-nominated the Sleeper in the Box podcast. So
congratulations again.
Thank you. And then you can also, of course, hear me on Friends of Fantasy Benefits, football and baseball. And I'm going to be doing a lot of guest spots here, kind of promoting the draft guide, but also kind of getting to say hi to a lot of my friends around the industry. I'm going to do Joe Pizzapia's podcast over at Fantrax. I think Bogman and the Welsh do that with him. The Fantasy Black Book show. And then I'm going to do Benched with Bubba with our good friend Bubba Anderson.
Fun show.
Yeah, I'm going to do that next week. So you're going to be hearing a lot of me, even if you dislike me. So.
Well, then, you're hard to avoid.
It's that time of year. I'm doing the rounds, kind of whoring it up a little bit. So.
Yeah, it's all right.
All right, that will do it for us. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.